Psalm 14, we're going to read all seven verses of this. I'll read verse 1 and you read verse 2 with me. And Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've given us so much. You've done so much for us. Thank you for our church. It's wonderful to be gathered together with your people. Help us, please, and strengthen us as your children. Please bless your word to our hearts. Lord, may we be more usable by you because of what we learn. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two psalms that answer and are quotable when you're dealing with the foolishness of this world. And one of them, very popular, if you only know Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, rather than give you the background of these psalms, we've been through that before. This psalm is similar, very similar. Go to Psalm 53. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are almost, not quite, but almost identical, except for a few words. Look at Psalm 53. Okay, look at verse 1. I'm not going to read the whole psalm with you. I'll just point one thing out, and then we'll... But watch this. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There's none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. In Psalm 14, it was the Lord that looked down from heaven. Here, it's God who looked down from heaven. The Bible is so beautiful, but as you read it, is this God telling you what a fool thinks, or is this God telling you what a fool is? You say, well, a fool thinks there's no God. I believe it's God saying, if you don't believe in God, you're a fool. It's declaring the foolishness of atheism. Then verse 2 in Psalm 14 starts with, the Lord looked down from heaven. And then in Psalm 53, it's God looked down from heaven. Jehovah, the personal Savior God, the Lord, in verse 4, chapter 14, and then God Elohim, the Almighty Creator, in Psalm 53. The fool doesn't believe in a creator, and the fool doesn't believe you can be saved. Some people will believe in God, but they don't believe that he's personal and would die for them. Right? Because they're not so stupid that they wouldn't acknowledge God. But they don't believe in a Savior that could save them. So isn't it wonderful? God covers the whole gamut in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. And then as you read this, I wanted to point out to you tonight, the internet provides a lot of poison and deception for God's people and lost people. I would say it is probably every pastor's frustration in this day and age. It's only 25 years old, right? I didn't say no good can come from the internet, but what most pastors deal with nowadays, see, before internet, let me take you back, okay? When you wanted preaching, you normally got it from your church or your pastor in your church. There was no internet to click on, right? So you had cassette tapes. You know what a cassette tape is? It's a little thing with two wheels and it's got, okay. You only got those from your church. You could order them, I realize, online, but that's for your parachurch people and your conference people. Normally, before we would deploy, you've heard me say this before, we get a whole bag of tapes. Jack Hiles and Lester Roloff and John R. Rice and, I mean, B.R. Lakin and, you know, all the preachers of the past, because we were getting ready to go on a six-month deployment, and our pastor would provide us with material, knowing we weren't going to be in church for 6 months. You know, you do what the government tells you, right? So that was back then. Nowadays, people listen. I don't have to be the only pastor you listen to, but I do know this. If you aren't careful with what you get involved in on the internet, you can get into stuff so deep, so quick. And I didn't deal with that when I got saved. So the internet, people, okay, we'll have people come to our church and they tell me, oh yeah, I listen to 15 different preachers on the internet. And I have no problem with that. Some of them I know. I'll say, who do you listen to? Some of them I know, some I don't know. And when it gets to that point, let me just tell you my opinion as a preacher, okay? I'm only good until we conflict, because you got 15 others that you call your pastor. Scripturally, you only have one preacher. Amen? I have a lot of people that I listen to preach. I could name people I access. I got 600 Jack Hiles sermons on my computer. I love them. They're good. I listen. If you got in my car right now, I've got preaching going on in my car. Okay? I play it everywhere. But when you come to church, if this isn't your church, if I am not your pastor, then I am just another speaker. And everything will be fine until we conflict. And then they're gone. And that's what every pastor in every church deals with nowadays. Well, I don't have to listen to you. I got 12 others I listen to on the internet. I have no problem. But the scourge of the Bible is the internet. The scourge, I think, of Christianity is the internet. Because what you say, what's so bad about the internet? Have you noticed on the internet, you can find, before, if it was just us in this community, in this county, if you hate God, you were in a minority. The majority of the people don't hate God. Now you can get on the internet and find thousands of people that hate God all over the world, and you don't need people in the community. You don't need that pressure, right? Because you can live in your media, and you can just feed it all day long. That's a different world. Whereas before, you could people would feel the pressure of being stupid. The internet makes it so they can create a world where I've got thousands. I don't need you. I've got people that they've never met. People that they'll never see, that'll never come to their funeral, that'll never visit them, but they've got thousands of followers, okay, that support their idiocy. That, now, before the internet, try to witness to somebody that was, well, I'm an atheist. Yeah, and they knew they were in the minority. You could talk with them. Try to talk to them now that they're on the internet. I'm not a minority anymore. I got my own group. You see the false confidence it builds? So we deal with things. It is a different world. It is a different world than when I got saved and when we were going soul winning. So there's a complication. Doesn't make me lose hope. Doesn't make me, praise God, God's still in the soul saving business. God's still in the life changing business. But if you thought people were hard before, they're getting harder. Okay? They're getting more confident in their evil, because they can find thousands of people that support them. Okay? So, you've got an internet issue to deal with when you deal with this issue of how do you know God is right. When someone says, how do you know your God is real? I want you to go to Psalm 82, and we're going to try to take this step by step. Look, don't show everybody. As a matter of fact, these verses are for you. This is to help you as a Christian. I don't know that I would ever show a lost person. I would know it, but I'd never show a lost person when I'm getting ready to show you in the Bible. This is something I think you as a Christian needs to know. You're going to Psalm 82. Listen to these two verses here real quick. Ready? You're in Psalm 82. Listen. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords." Capital G of small g gods. capital L, Lord, of small case lords. Then in Psalm 136, verse 3, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the capital L, Lord, of small case L, lords. Lord of lords, God of gods." Here's what you're introduced to from the fifth book of the Bible all through the rest of your Bible. There are many gods, small g, but there's only one Almighty God. There are many lords, but there's only one personal Savior who died for you. You say, okay, what are the small g? You're in Psalm 82. Look at verse 1. What are the small g gods? Watch this. Psalm 82, verse 1. "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods." What are the gods? They're the fallen angels. You want to write that in your Bible or just get it so you can know it later on? But what are these? He is the God Almighty, creator of... You're introduced to a spirit world. You're introduced to an underworld. There are spiritual powers out there. The power of the devil is very real. The power of devils and demons is real. But God Almighty, our God, is the God of all of those gods. And He is the Lord of all of those lords. Somebody said, well, okay, I know there's only one God who would die for you. But what I'm trying to show you is what your Bible teaches tonight. You're introduced to a spiritual world where God is over all. Read it just a little bit, and you can go back. I've taught on this psalm. We did a whole Bible study on this, okay? It's on the internet. I don't want to go into it a whole bunch, but watch this. Verse 2, "How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked?" Selah. Remember a Selah psalm that's going to deal with the millennium. "Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." Does that sound like something that's coming when God destroys the earth? Yes, when angels are judged. So all of this is prophetic. Okay? Then look at verse 5-6. "I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Jesus quoted that verse in the New Testament, Psalm 82, verse 6. So when Jesus is saying, he's referencing Psalm 82, he's saying there are gods. Have you ever seen the comics of the superheroes? There are gods among us. That's what they claim to be. Superman, you know, from planet, you know, Krypto or whatever, or whatever. Then they all the superheroes, I don't care who it is, they all call themselves gods. If you don't know what your Bible calls gods, it's amazing how much our society is hooked on superheroes. They're devils. They get their powers, you know, Green Lantern. And then you got Wonder Woman. You got all this. They don't get their power from God. But Satan will what? Give you power and authority if you'll bow down and worship. So it's interesting, the Bible terminology that God introduces us to. Here we go. Let's go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 5. I may have probably taken this a little too far, but you'll get the picture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 5. Just to reiterate what we've already done, wonderful verse. Ready? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 5. "For though there be that are called gods," small g, "whether in heaven," watch, "or on earth," or "in earth," that's your underworld, right? That's the spirit world. "In earth," watch, "as there be gods many and lords many." There it is in the New Testament. That's why God is God of gods and Lord of lords. There are many spiritual powers, all of them devils, and God is mightier than all of them and over all of them. It doesn't mean he controls, but God's in control. You understand? The God of gods is our God, but there are many devils and many, let's call them demons if you want. Here we go. Think with me here, okay, with this foundation that we laid. There's only one true almighty God. There are many gods that are worshipped on many continents that are devils. The devils go by any name you want to call them. Buddha, Allah, Zeus. Let's you know, we were dealing with a question. My wife was dealing with a question yesterday. I don't believe in your God. I believe in the Greek God, Zeus and Methuselah and Hercules. And really, you know where the Greek religion comes from? Homer's dream. One dream from one guy. Zeus, Methuselah, all that stuff comes from one nightmare. And then the whole Greek society, Hellenistic, however you want to view it, formed a religion off of one man's dream. What a, no wonder the Greeks were so depressed. And so, it's the shortest empire on the face of the earth. Shortest lived. Okay? Shorter than Babylon, shorter than what would be Medo-Persia, shorter than the Romans, shorter than the Ottoman. It's the shortest. Why? Because their religion was such a bunch of garbage. It's amazing how many people go, oh, but the Greeks. Really? Yeah, I'm sure there were some nice people, but they were stupid. Okay? The foolishness and the movies and all that. So, here we go. God declares who he is in the Bible. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. I love this statement. God declares who he is in his word, but God doesn't beg you to believe in him. God doesn't whine and say, oh, come on. What do you mean you're trusting in Zeus? Here, trust in me, I'm better. God doesn't whine. God doesn't bellyache. God, look at Psalm 48:10. Be still and know that I am God. Just relax in your faith and know that I am capital G God. Want to see another beautiful verse? That's God declaring himself, saying, if you trust in me, you can enjoy peace and stillness on the inside. That's Psalm 46:10. Now go to Isaiah. Go over a couple of books to Isaiah 45. Look at verse 21. Isaiah 45, look at verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Watch. And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Who are you going to put your trust in? Name another God that died for you. Allah expects you to die for him in jihad. And if you die, you get 42 virgins. Boy, that's a lie. Really? I told one Muslim that. Isn't it sad your God requires you to die for you and mine died for me? There is no God like our God. There is no, that's what the word Savior means, right? A sacrifice for sins. Someone who would die in your place. And God says, there is no God like. I am God of gods and Lord of lords. Look at next verse. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Here we go, God's declaring, for I am God, and there is none else. I love that. You're in Isaiah 45, go to chapter 46, look at verse 9. Ready? Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. What more do you need? How come you believe in your God, not other gods? Because there is no God like my God. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody that has created their offspring, like Adam, that sinned against the Creator, and he went and died in their place so they could spend eternity with him. There is no God like that. Who are you going to choose from? Oh, yeah, there's 13 gods that died for it. There's only one. There's only one. There's no choice to make. What do you mean? Zeus? Really? Hercules? To me, that's so goofy. The foolishness. So you'd acknowledge devils, but you wouldn't acknowledge Almighty God. Believe whatever you want to believe, but there is no God like our God. Oh, I don't believe in your Bible. I don't believe. That's up to you. God tells you who He is. You want to die and go to hell? You'll hear me make this statement at the end of the sermon. And if you've been soul winning with me, you've heard me say it. God loves you too much to force you to spend eternity with Him. You want to die and go to hell? God will let you. But if you want to go to heaven, it will be through what God has provided for you, not what you want to do. Amen? So, here we go. That's Isaiah. Beautiful verses. God never begs you to believe Him. Now look at the consequences. Here we go. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I feel so sorry for, you know, you come across people and then college students, you know, well, I'm studying religion. Really? Wow, you're a termite and a yo-yo. You're one confused little puppy. You know just enough Bible to damn your soul to hell. And boy, they'll quote, don't judge me, and they'll quote all that. But so tell me, do you know how to be born again? Well, I'm trying. I'm doing my best. Do you want to know the truth? I'd love to show you. Well, no, I'm studying. I've heard this. I'm studying it for myself. Study away. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You won't find God anywhere but your Bible. Search away. God sent me to you. Amen. And I hope you could say that as a soul winner to any lost person. I am a Christian. I am someone who was lost on their way to hell. I've trusted Jesus, and God sent me across your path so you could know how to get saved. Would you like me to show you? If they don't, I don't know what to tell you. I can't. God's not going to make you believe. That is your choice. But why would you trust another God? We have the true God. Look at, here we go, getting into the danger area. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. In them that perish, and this is the phrase right here, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Do you know what's fodder for the Antichrist and the false religions? You know what they feed off of? They feed off of people who will not believe the Bible. I love asking this statement. If I could show you that the Bible is truth, would you believe it? Oh, no. So you're determined not to believe the truth. If they don't want to know the truth, I don't care. That's why it doesn't matter what Bible you show them. You could show them Better Homes and Gardens. It doesn't matter. They're determined not to believe. And those people, you can't help. That's, you know, he that winneth souls is wise. He that deals with people. I try to look through what people are saying. I look into what people are saying. I'm studying. I'm listening. And I'm thinking, if you want the truth, you got me hook, line, and sinker. Man, I'll give it to you. But if you're drawing me out because you want to find out if Adam had a belly button or not, it doesn't take me long to figure that out. And then after that, you know, here's another classic. Where did Cain get his wife? How did all the dinosaurs fit on the ark? It goes on and on. The foolishness. You don't want to believe, do you? If you don't want to believe, then you know what's scary? I don't know that I've ever showed this, but all this is going on in my head when I'm witnessing to somebody. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You don't want to believe the Bible? There's a whole bunch of other devils you can believe in. And God will enable you to believe not just a lie, a strong lie. Talk to a Mormon sometime. Strong demons behind that. We just met one last week. Talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Strong demons behind that. And the deception. Talk to the Catholics that were confirmed at age 5. I talked to a farmer right over here. He looked at me. Had a pick of zone. It's over, I want to say it's by Chaptico, and I was soul winning out there. Man, beautiful place. I said, if you die, do you know where you spend eternity? I'm Catholic. And I said, boy, I'm glad you have a church you go to. I always say that, okay. A lot of people don't. I said, do you know if you died where you'll spend eternity? I've never seen anything in the Catholic Church that is, what do you say, that has went against the Bible. I said, really? I said, baptizing babies? Where's that in the Bible? Confessing your sins to somebody? Where's that? He goes, I've never seen anything in the Bible that in the church that contradicts the Bible. I said, okay, there's a track. If I can help you in any way. The demons were strong. And I felt the opposition. I'm not a spooky person. But when someone is given over to a strong lie, I believe they can get saved through prayer. But it takes a lot of pushing through that evil. That's why I'm saying talk to the false religions. Talk to the people. I'm fine. And boy, the strong lies, the deception that's out there, it's amazing to me. And whenever I hear, no, I don't want the Bible, I always think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's what I think. Did you have a chance in your lifetime to get saved and you said no? Because you're determined you're not going to believe the Bible. You're set against God. You said no to God one time, didn't you? Somebody gave you a gospel tract. Somebody invited you to church, or you went to church and someone witnessed to you and you said, I don't want that. Careful. If you say no to the truth, God will empower you to say yes to a lie, to damn your soul. Isn't that a sobering verse? How do you know your God's true? How do you know? One, there's no God like my God. Second of all, there's no book like our book. There is no book like the Bible. I'll show you that next week. Let's stay on the topic, how do you know God is real? Okay, I always say, go to Romans chapter 1. This is another verse that I have in my mind. Romans chapter 1, hey, whenever it rains, be glad the roof don't leak, amen? I can read my Bible and ain't got drip, drip, drip. Romans chapter 1, ready? Here we go. How do you believe there's a God? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice a semicolon there. Because, I wish you'd underline verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God hath showed it unto them. What a verse. You know there's a God. You're denying what God put in you. God put in you your conscience, Romans chapter 2, and we won't look at it tonight, but God put in you to acknowledge Him as God, and you're fighting God's creation, how He made you. How do you know God's real? Because God showed you He's real. Look at the next verse, beautiful verse. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What's clearly seen? The invisible things. Well, how do you know? You know. And look, I'm not a debater. I'm not a professional. I'm a soul winner. Amen? I'm a messenger of God. And as you witness to people, God teaches you things. But I love making this statement. You know there's a God. You know what I'm telling you is right. Because God put it in you. God created you that way. He didn't make you to deny the one that created you. You're living a lie. There's a lot of people like that. I love that verse. They're clearly seeing, watch this, being understood by the things that are made. You say, what's clearly seen? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, the word Trinity is not in your Bible, but the word Godhead is. It's in there twice. There it is one time. God explains to you who He is, and it's clearly seen. How do you know there's a God? Because God shows you. A verse that has meant a lot to me. As a matter of fact, go ahead and go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go back to the front of your Bible, 5th book, chapter 30, verse 14. Ready? Deuteronomy chapter 30, and look at verse 14. I guess you could call this the New Testament way of or the Old Testament way of illustrating the old, what's in the New Testament. Look at Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Same thing. God said, I put my word, your ability to acknowledge who God is, God says, I put that in you. For you to say there is no God, or to deny God, that's, remember what God tell the Apostle Paul before he got saved, right? Remember, knocks him off the horse. How long are you going to, what, kick against the pricks? What were the pricks? Those were those spikes on those, the carts that the horse would, and if the horse kicked, those spikes would hit its heel and stab it. And God told the Apostle Paul, how long are you going to fight me and kick and get stabbed against the pricks? Pricks of what? I put my word in you. It's so all you have to do is choose to believe. Amen? So, beautiful verse. And just so you know, that verse right there is quoted in Romans 10, verse 8. The Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament. That's in there twice. The word is nigh thee in thy heart, the word which we preach. So how do you know God's real? Well, one way I know is by how God created me. God put it in me to acknowledge him. And if I'm not, it's because I fought him so long, he's given me over to a lie. Fine, then believe anything you want to believe. Do it your way and die and go to hell. God doesn't force you to do anything. Amen? Now go to 1 John. You know that God is right because God put it in you to believe him. Look at 1 John chapter 5, and then I'll show you just a few more places here. 1 John, back near Revelation chapter 5, and look at verse 9. I'll say it again. I've not showed these verses to anybody when I've been out soul winning. This is what I know as a soul winner. I like what someone in our church said when they went out soul winning with me. This was about a year and a half ago. They said, here we go, I'm not aggrandizing myself or anything, but they said, when you talk to people, you never back down. And they told me, it helps me to watch you talk to a non-believer because you never give. Now, I'm not rude, I'm not nasty, okay? As a matter of fact, the person we were talking to believed five different religions. So we went through it. Judaism was one of them. So he's using Old Testament verses, and then he's going to go through New Age. Then he's going to go through. And I said, okay, let's take all of your religions. Where do you learn about how to get to heaven from any of those? What do you believe? Well, you do your best. I said, there's only one book that teaches you blood pays for your sin and not yours. The God that created you is the only blood that will pay for it. Not a lot of choices to make. He goes, that's a good point. I said, you want some more? Yeah, that's a good point. I don't show these verses to people, but when I talk to a lost person, I know I'm not cocky, I'm not arrogant, I just know I'm right. Amen? And my heart goes out, and your heart should too, my heart goes out to them because you're deceived. You really believe in a false religion that Satan has provided. And if you don't get saved before you die, you're going to burn in hell forever. My heart goes out to them. But I like that. Pastor, whenever you talk to somebody, you don't give. There's no give. I said, praise the Lord. What's behind my thinking when I'm witnessing these verses that I'm showing you tonight? Okay? Look at 1 John chapter 5. Ready? 1 John. Look at verse 9. Ready? If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Why? Because men change what they believe. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. What this? This is. This is the witness of God. This is what shows. This is the only. I'll get into it next week, but the Bible is the only book that tells you what happens after you die. There is no other book. Well, you know, the Hadith says this, and then, you know, the Sirahs of the Confucius say this, and then, you know, then you got Taoism. They don't tell you how to live eternally. There's only one book. What do you mean you got choices to make? You want to get wrapped up in all that garbage? Oh, my goodness. This is the record that God has given us, a witness of this. And there's no God like our God, and there is no book like this book. Nothing. I told you, God declares himself to God. Did you know in Islam, in the Quran, Allah does not declare himself to be the Almighty. He says, you have to believe or strike the necks of unbelievers. He says, go after the unbelievers. But Allah never says, I am. You don't have another person saying, I am God of gods. There's only one. And that's why there's no book like the book that you have. Let's keep reading here. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know, it came up yesterday. First question. Well, how do you know your God's right? And then when the Bible was used, oh, I don't believe the Bible. Yeah, you've made God a liar. God said it was his word. So you don't believe? Oh, no. Men wrote that book. Really? I'll get into it next week. I don't want to get into the sermon, but really, men would write a book that condemns them to hell. I don't think so. Men write about how wonderful they are, but nobody writes, all of them are filthy, all of them are gone astray, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Man doesn't write a book like that. No man would. No, you've made God a liar, and that you choose not to believe his word. Let's keep on reading. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Praise God. You either have Jesus or you don't. You're not 50% there, 10%, 30%, 80%. He that hath the Son has eternal life. It's all based on Jesus Christ. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What a beautiful passage. Now, we've looked at God's Word. I think these are important verses for me to know when I'm witnessing to somebody. What happens when the Bible is not allowed to be put into play yet? Okay? Two things. Then, how do I know there's a God? First thing, here we go, two things. I hope this is simple enough for you to remember. I know there's a God because of my body. Okay? Listen closely. Every scientist will tell you the most complicated system in the universe is your human body. Well, we can clone it. No, they can't. Well, we can change DNA, but you can't create DNA. There is no the complexity of the human body. Okay? Really, we all came from one cell, primordial soup. You evolved. Really, you believe? You know, it takes just as much faith to believe that as it does for God to create you. You've just chosen not to, once again, to believe the Bible. Think about that. You came from one cell. That's really what you believe? The beauty of your body is from one cell and DNA that God wrote. When those cells start to multiply, watch this. This is amazing to me. How does it go from skin tissue to what makes the eyeball? How does it go from skin tissue to a hair follicle that makes your eyebrows and your eyelashes? And in other words, it's millions of cells doing different things. God programmed it so my nose is not, like my ear is not in the middle of my face. Aren't you glad? They can't explain that. How do you know there's a God? Well, number one, science still can't fully understand. They don't even know half. They don't know a quarter. There's so much about your body is so complex because you were made in the image of God. You're a three-part being. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. Well, we can clone. What are you going to do about the soul issue? Well, we can make a body. Yeah, you took tissue that God made. I love that old joke that goes, scientists got together and they said, we challenge God to a creation now that we can clone. So this is a joke. This is no Bible. So God shows up and he says, okay, what do you guys want? Yeah, we can clone people now, so we challenge you to a creation contest. You first. God says, okay. So God grabbed some dust, breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All the scientists go, okay. They reach down and get some dust, and God says, make your own dust. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. Only God can make something from nothing. Only God can speak things into existence. No, you're not God's equal. You can't challenge God. So how do you know there's a God? Well, number one, the complexity of the system of my body that God's created. Number two, how do you know? You know, it just in reference to that, Psalm 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, what God made, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Next, one more thing I tell people is, you couldn't have come from, so you believe you evolved, like all of this by chance and trial, and then the tadpole and the frog, and then on the land, reptile, bird, and then mammal, and then monkey, and I said, all by chance. Take all the parts of a car. Take the transmission gears. Take the brakes. Take the tires. Take all the little screws. Take the body parts. Take the steering wheel. Take the engine. Take it all apart. Put it in a bag. Shake it all up. Drop it. And will it assemble itself? Car's pretty complex. No chance of that happening. But there's a chance of you coming from a cell. I don't have any other word for you. God calls you a fool. You're a fool for what you believe, because you choose not to believe in God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 139. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go to Psalm 19. What's the final reason you know there's a God? First reason is the complexity of the human body. Second reason, creation. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the atmosphere, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. What declares the glory of God? The heavens. When we were out camping on Friday night, men and boys camp out, moon was so bright, sky was so clear. Looking up at the stars, you saw Orion, and then the Big Dipper, and then the Little Dipper, and the tail, and then you saw over here, and I'm just looking up at the sky. Each one of those stars, the closest one, light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light, took 8 years to get to my eye. That was the closest one. Traveling at the speed. What? The heavens declare the glory of God. His creation is a testimony of who he is and his. We still don't know how big the universe is. That's because God's eternal. And isn't it amazing? 2 Peter chapter 3, he's going to one day speak it out of existence, and everything's going to explode, and then he's going to speak it back into existence in a new heaven, new universe, and a new earth. What do you mean, save the earth? You've heard me talk about that before. That's the kookiest thing I've ever heard before in my. We need to save the earth. You ain't saving the earth. It's going boom. It's all going to burn. So let's all burn our trash. Amen. How do you know there's a God? I love burning trash. how do you know there's a God? Because of the complexity of how God created me, my body. Number two, creation. The branches of the trees point to heaven. They praise God. You mean you can look at all of creation and think, oh yeah, all this just happened. Since it's so simple, did you know the simplest organism on the face of the earth is a blade of grass? Science cannot still reproduce it. Since it's so simple, well then make a blade of grass. They can't. It's still beyond them. God, I know there's a God. I know the God that I believe in is right. I don't, maybe they got an edge on some. It's so kooky to hear people talk. They're all wrong. I don't say that to build my pride. You know what? When we read Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, I'll close with this tonight. Doesn't it humble you to see God's view of us as Psalm 14? They're all filthy. They're all unprofitable. They're all gone out of the way. There's nothing good in me, and yet God saved me. Oh, you're just proud. You think you're the only one. No, I'm amazed because I'm looking. We visit on Saturday. I see the lost people. I'm watching people tell God no. No, I'm humbled that God would save me. But do I wonder if I'm right? No, I know I'm right. I know there is no God like our God. And isn't it wonderful? It's so good to be in God's house with God's people and to declare there's no God, no Savior like our God. What a God. No book like our book. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Please strengthen us as your people. And Lord, as we get closer to your coming,